Words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable to you, O God, my rock and redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. There are hard lessons in today's gospel reading. The first one that I'll address is one that we hear often, one that I hope is familiar, and that is Jesus' call for us to love the vulnerable, to not mistakenly tear up those who are tender seedlings, as it were, in order to get rid of weeds. And we know that Jesus is a champion of the dispossessed. We see it in his kindness, in his compassion, his healing, the way that he engages with people who are sick or who are outcast, the way that he lifts up the powerless and the weak, and he gets into trouble for his kindness to those who can't do him any favors, his kindness to those who are not powerful, people like widows and orphans, people like those who are afflicted with leprosy or who are blind, and he eats and drinks with people who are lowlifes and have no sway in the centers of power. And Jesus warns us constantly about hurting the little ones. And I think a lot of times when we hear those words, the little ones, we think of children. But actually, it means anyone who is without power, anyone who is low on the totem pole. Jesus tells us to champion the dispossessed. He tells us that it is important, it is essential that we value and serve those who are not served by others. And it's a tough lesson because it means that we can't just limit our focus to people who are good for our careers or who give us status or who help us make money or who give us power. So that's the first implicit lesson in the parable of the wheat and the weeds. But there's an even harder lesson. So the first lesson, again, care for the vulnerable. Notice them. Be a part of their lives, even if it doesn't make you rich or give you status. But the second lesson is this. You're going to see evil in the world. Let it be. Learn to coexist with it. Now, of course, this comes in the context of Jesus talking nonsense about seeds again. Last week he was profligately just throwing seeds everywhere, on roads, on rocky places, on thorny places. And today he's saying, oh, you know, just pull up the good stuff when the harvest comes. I don't think he was a farmer. But he is, after all, he's making a point with images, not teaching us how to be agriculturalists. And his point here is to let the weeds and the wheat grow together to make sure that there is no collateral damage. He is saying that things are complicated, that good and evil are intertwined with each other, the way that roots of plants can be intertwined with each other, and the bad pulled up, the good go with it, or the way that plants and weeds can look like each other, so that you might mistake a good seed for something bad and vice versa. And Jesus reminds us that we may not be the best ones to know what is good and what needs to be pulled up. And I was thinking, since we just got back from the Boundary Waters, about mosquitoes. And what I was thinking is that one night we had a bunch of them in our tent, unfortunately. And I woke up with a ring of very large, very red, very itchy mosquito bites around my neck because I slept like this. So that was the only place they could bite me. Now, you know, I don't know, can we call them evil? I don't know if they're evil, but I don't like mosquitoes, and I smack them whenever I can. And so, you know, there are all of these campaigns to get rid of all the mosquitoes. But should we do that? What about the birds that I love to watch and listen to, and the bats that I love to see swooping at night? What about the frogs that I can't wait to hear in the spring? You can't just get rid of mosquitoes without collateral damage. And Jesus says, collateral damage is not acceptable. We hear that from Jesus all the time, right? A man has 100 sheep, one of them gets lost. He has 99. Does he really need 100? He's not going to let that one sheep go away. He's going to get that last sheep. God's eye is on the sparrow, so we know that God cares for us. I think that much evil does result from what is considered righteous. And I know that my time in the university, I was aware of the importance of words and aware of the importance of naming. And much of the work in the university is beautiful work that makes us think hard about the way that we name people and sometimes the way we name them after their problems. So saying that somebody is a cancer patient as opposed to someone has cancer, or somebody is homeless versus unhoused. But I also found in the academy that there was a lot of weeding out of weeds, and that you could be shunned or chastised or really argued with because you used the wrong word at the wrong time. Now, that's maybe a small example, but it's really dampening, and it gives an example to me of how, with the best intentions, you can have very bad consequences. The problem is that not only are we embedded in the mess, and not only is the world complicated, but we don't always fully imagine the consequences of our actions. So Jesus is saying we have to have a patient coexistence with the things that we deem evil. There will be a time when evil is vanquished, but that time is in God's hands. So my question would be, how long, O Lord? How long do I put up with mosquitoes? How long do I put up with a world where evil cannot be plucked up when it's identified? But it seems that the question isn't right, that the question isn't how long, but rather what now? Because the next lesson is even harder. The first, of course, is know who the vulnerable are and care for them. The second, learn to coexist with the evil because you can't see the consequences clearly enough. Be careful when you address the evil. But the third lesson, the answer to what now, not how long, but what now, is this one. And just to put it out there and make it colloquial, the third lesson is learn to love the hell out of everybody. Now, in response to our Lieutenant Governor Micah Beckwith's statement that he wants people to learn how to hate again, we have a series on our front lawn about who we're supposed to love and where it says so in the Bible. All right? So we're talking about loving immigrant, loving enemy, loving foreigner, loving neighbor, loving God. That'll be the next 10 weeks. I did not plan for it to say love enemy on this day. I didn't look that far ahead in the lectionary, but it turns out that Jesus says this all the time. Love your enemy. Sermon on the Mount, Sermon on the Plain, and places in between. It says it throughout the Bible. Love your enemy. Bless those who persecute you. How are we going to do that? How do we learn to love our enemy? We have sages in our midst who testify to the transformation of learning not to eradicate the enemy, but to love the enemy. One of them is John Lewis, the great John Lewis, who is now deceased. And he says that in the height of the civil rights movement, on one occasion, Dr. King said to some people, just love everybody. Love those who fail to love you. Just love. Just love a little hell out of everybody. And Lewis said that the training sessions that they had to learn how to do that, to learn to love the hell, that love out the hell that is in people, that's the way to root out the evil, the weed, to love them. He said, when you can truly understand and feel, even as a person is cursing you to your face, spitting on you, pushing a lit cigarette into your neck or breathing you with a truncheon, if you can understand and feel in these critical and physically painful moments that your attacker is as much a victim as you are, that he is a victim of forces that have shaped him and fed his anger and fury, then you are on your way to nonviolent life. Their trainers would say, it's not enough to endure a beating, you need to do even more than resist the urge to hit back. You have to lose the urge itself. I frankly do not know how you do this. And so I look to these sages to tell me that, in fact, it can be done, and that when it is done, it is transformative. He writes that love is a way of life. It is a way of life that permeates each moment, from the monumental to the mundane. It's as much a moment of transformation when you are at a Woolworths counter as it is when somebody cuts you off in traffic. It is learning for the reflex to be to love the people who hurt you, to love the hell out of them. And Lewis says, this is a love that accepts and embraces the hateful and the hurtful and recognizes the spark of divine that is in each of us. I heard this lesson repeated by a man whose name I don't know, by a pastor from the Twin Cities. And I was stunned to hear his description of the transformation that came to the communities of the Twin Cities in the last year. He was talking about Operation Metro Surge, which you know was from February to February of the past year. And he said that during that time, they could not figure out who was their enemy and who was their neighbor. And he felt a change in the metro area, that they were going to choose to love their neighbors, even if they didn't know who their neighbors were. And he said it came because of what happened after the murder of George Floyd. That after George Floyd, there was an effort to weed out, to figure out who was enemy and who was friend, who was neighbor. And they saw what happened with that effort. And so they went a different route. It wasn't that they didn't protest. It wasn't that they didn't name evil. It wasn't that they didn't petition. It's that they treated people differently. They loved their neighbor. And he gave an example of two women who were arrested for impeding the work of the government, who were locked, who were handcuffed and in the back of the squad car. And on the trip to the detention center, one of the ICE agents had a seizure. And the two women recognized the signs, asked that they call 911, pull over, let them out of their handcuffs, and they tended to the man who had arrested them until help could come. He talked about, the pastor talked about the realization that there can be no collateral damage in the fight that the Twin Cities had against the evil that was perpetrated upon them. That's the third lesson. But there's one more. The first lesson, of course, is that we must notice and care for the vulnerable, even though it doesn't advance our worldly situation. The second is that we need to somehow figure out a way to let good and evil coexist and to trust that God will be the one who brings ultimate good into the world at the end. And the third is not just to tolerate those who do you harm, but to love the hell out of them. And the fourth is this. It's to know ourselves. It's to know that we are both sinners and saints, that we are complicated, that we are as complicated as the world. Just think about the choices that you have to make on a daily basis. Do you help the hapless employee who's screwing up time after time after time? Or do you keep your business moving, running smoothly? Which one do you choose? Both are embedded with evil. If you have a dear one or yourself have suffered from cancer, do you do chemo? Do you worry about quality of life, number of days? Helping future generations by doing research, doing clinical studies? Which one do you choose? All of them have good in them and all of them have evil. What about something as simple as peer pressure? Do you give in to peer pressure and do something that you know you shouldn't? Or do you suffer being isolated and not having friends? We are complicated. We are a combination of wheat and weeds. And we need to examine that combination, even as we see the wheat and the weeds that are out in the world. The world is full of heartbreak, There are people that we need to love and care for because they cannot care for themselves. The world is complicated. And so even our best intentions to change it may have terrible consequences. And we must learn to live with each other. Separating wheat from weeds in our neighbors is complicated. And not only do we need to live with those who have been given to us in our situations, but we need to learn to love them, however difficult a lesson that is. And separating wheat from weeds in our own lives and hearts and souls and action is complicated. We must recognize our own lives and listen to the criticisms of others and strive and pray and be mindful of the things that we can change and to ameliorate the ones that we cannot. It's more than complicated, of course. The parable of the weeds and the wheat tells us that abiding and loving our neighbors, all of them, and loving the hell out of them, and loving the hell out of ourselves is what will transform us. Our salvation comes from God, and the shape of our work follows the great commandments, that we love God and that we love neighbors as ourselves. So, love God. Love your neighbors as yourself. Love the hell out of them.